So this is obviously this is the palace, the home of Krishna and Balaram and Nanda and Yashoda. The original house of Nanda Baba that was here 5,000 years ago had 50 rooms, pachas kamra. One room was a treasury room, and one room was a milk storage room. And there's one bedroom for Krishna, one bedroom for Balaram, one bedroom for Mother Mangal, one for Yashoda, one for Nanda. And then the interesting thing about their house is they had some guest rooms. If we're very, very wealthy, we may have some guest rooms in our house. The rooms are always empty until some friends or relatives come and stay in those rooms. But in Nanda Baba's case, he has guest rooms, but he also keeps rooms. He has rooms, permanent rooms here, although they're empty most of the time. That's not it. There's one room for Sridham, one room for Radharani. There's a guest room for Radharani, there's a guest room for Bishabhano, and a guest room for Kirtida. Because what happens is, although this is for all time, and Radharani, of course, is married to her so-called husband, Abhimanyu, and they live in Yavatgram, which is quite close to Nandagram. It's east of here, about 6 kilometers. And so that seems rather strange. Could you imagine, just imagine, you're married, and then in your wife's old boyfriend's house, there's a guest room in her house. There's a guest room for your wife. Some other man has a guest room in his house which says Srimati Radharani Kamra, Radharani's room. That would seem a little strange. And then there's a guest room in that house for Radharani, for mother and father. So it seems rather strange that in Nanda Maharaj, Radharani is the wife of Abhimanyu, but in her boyfriend's house, she has her own bedroom. And another very coincidental arrangement, although there are 50 rooms in Nanda Bhavan, there's 50 rooms in the palace of Nanda Maharaj, there's so many bedrooms, as I mentioned, but Krishna's bedroom is contiguous with Radharani's bedroom. Contiguous means that Krishna's bedroom is here, and right next to it, there's one door entering Krishna's room, and like in some hotels, and in the middle of Krishna's room, there's another door that goes into Radharani's room. So the two rooms are adjoining inside. So it's just by coincidence that Radharani's bedroom is right next to Krishna's. I don't know how that happened. It must be the will of providence. It must be the hand of God. So now the next question is, it's pretty clear that a wife often goes home to her mother's house after some time, as Radharani stays 3 months in Yavat, and then she comes to Barsana to spend with her mother. And then she goes back to her mother-in-law's house, Jatila, like that. So then, but Radharani comes here. And when does she come here? She comes here for Krishna's birthday party. This is described in Gopal Champu and some other places by Siddha Krishnadas. So when it's Krishna's birthday party, as you know, that's called Janmashtami or Krishna Jayanti, and Krishnastami in Bhadramas, which is around end of middle August or September. So Nanda Baba, he sends some invitations with some Brahmins. The Brahmins go to Yavat and they go to Barsana and they invite Radharani and Ananga Mandri, and then they go to Barsana and they invite Brishabhano and Kirti. They say, please come for the birthday party of our Nandalal, Nandanandan. This will be a 5-day function, 5-day birthday party. So during those 5 days, then Radharani and Ananga Mandri, her younger sister, then her elder brother Sridham, and her mother and father, they all move into this palace, and they all stay here. And it's a rather unusual family situation, because Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are not her mother-in-law. They're not Radharani's mother-in-law. They're the mother and father of her teenage boyfriend. When she grew up, she got married, but when she's a teenager, she had a boyfriend named Shyam. And the boyfriend's mother and father really liked his girlfriend. They liked his girlfriend so much that when they built a new house, they made sure they left a bedroom for her, just in case their son may get together again with his girlfriend, even though she was married. Although this is highly frowned on in modern society, what to speak of 5,000 years ago? Can you imagine your mother and father buy a new house in St. Petersburg? And you say, Dad, there's five bedrooms. Why is there five bedrooms? There's one for me, one for my wife, there's one for you, one for your sister, and there's one for your girlfriend. Well, there's a bedroom for your girlfriend. Oh, Dad, that's smart. That's good thinking. Is there also a private entrance, a back entrance? So we can understand by this rather unusual architecture of Nanda Bhavan, because this is Nanda Bhavan, that in this land of Vrindavan is known as Madhurya Dham, the abode of sweetness. And sweetness finds its greatest expression in loving relationships. The greatest taste of sweetness is where you have a loving relationship. We get sweetness from food items. That's a relationship. It's a relationship of a sweet item with a sweet portion of our tongue. The sweet portion of our tongue, we put a glovejam in there, then that sweet portion of our tongue says, oh, very sweet, very nice. It gives some happiness. So relationship with satisfying objects gives happiness. But loving relationships gives the greatest happiness. So this Madhurya Dham is called the abode of sweetness, the land of sweetness, because here the loving relationships are most intimate. And in that intimacy of love, the greatest sweetness is churned and produced. So when you come to the plane of love, you will not find the action of law there. Law is not acting on the plane of love. Rules and regulations, maryada, law, yama, niyama, yam, niyam, maryada, this is law. This is Madhurya Dham. This is the abode of prema. Prem Dham Vrindavan. Sri Dham Vrindavan. Prem Dham Vrindavan. So we have this phrase in English. In love, there is no law. And in law, there is no love. So in Vrindavan, it is Madhurya Dham means there's no law here. Because even in modern society, no father will specifically build a bedroom for his son's girlfriend. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Have you ever heard of that? You may have a hip father. He may be hip, you know, hip means like with it. Very modern type father. He gives you money, he gives you motorcycle, you know, little, you know, herbs and spices, or he gives you different herbs and spices. I mean, he's really with it father, like happening father. But is your father so progressive and so broad-minded and so open-hearted and so liberal that he's going to build a bedroom for your girlfriend? No. Even Russia, which is so wild, and America, which is even wilder, then Sweden, which is super wild, super, super wild in Sweden, they're still not going to build a bedroom for the girlfriend. You think so? I don't think so. It's a great idea. We should propose it to the architects of the world. When the father gets the drawing, oh, it's a very nice living rooms here, bedrooms here, studies here, and master bedroom. Hey, there's some fault in this plan, in this blueprint for the house. Where's the camera? Where's the bedroom for my son's girlfriend? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. I forgot. Okay, I'll go back. There, look, see, we fit it between your room and your daughter's room. Your son's room, then the girlfriend's room. Then that's what we have here. Krishna's room and then Radharani's room. So this is called Vishesh Leela. Krishna's Leela is Vishesh, Chandra. Chandra means concentrated, Chandra Prem. It's concentrated love, very special, extraordinary. Every aspect, if you only look at the architecture of Krishna's house, you can write a whole essay on Prem Tattva. You can write an entire essay on Prema Tattva, you know, the truth, the Tattva. The Tattva of Prem Tattva, you can write a whole essay about the architecture of Nanda Bhavan, Nanda Maharaj's house. Because the architecture indicates something about the Bhav. and indicates something about the mentality. And it shows that Vrindavan, the devotees in Vrindavan, the Lord in Vrindavan, are above all laws. They're above all consideration. They are above all measurement. They are above all weighing. You cannot measure. If you come into the holy dham with a yardstick or with a measuring stick or a tape or a measuring stick, you try to measure, oh, this devotee is this big or this wide, or Krishna is this big. Or people often come to the Vrindavan, oh Maharaj, why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? How come this? How come that? If you come like that, you'll get nowhere. If you come to Vrindavan with this idea, why this, how that, then you will not achieve anything. We come to Vrindavan like this. Kim karomi. O Radhika, O Purnamasi, O Yogamaya Ma, O Vrindadevi, O Lalita, O Vishaka. How, kim karomi, how may I serve? Dham seva. This is not a college classroom. Vrindavan is not a college classroom. This is not a college classroom. A college classroom, there's a teacher and there's students, and he's giving some teach. And you raise your hand. Oh, what do you mean by that? Why are you saying that? How is this? And then the teacher says, "Oh, it's like this. It's like that, isn't it?" Everyone's been to university, college. There's prashna, then there's questions and answers. But Vrindavan is called seva bhumi. Love means seva. Prem means seva. If you question my love, you have no love. If you question my love, you have no love. If you have to ask me, do you love me? That means you have no love, because if you have love, you can see love in me. So this is prem dham. So we're coming here to attain Krishna's love, is it or not?
Yes.
We're coming here to attain pure love for Krishna and pure love for Radha. So love means service. So the only question here is in Vrindavan is, how may I serve you? Because Jiva Goswami is explaining, Tattva Sandarva, that without this principle, without fully realizing, everyone can quote this phrase, everyone can and give a class and say, yes, we have blah, 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 this, that. But this is the key principle, this is the key to Brajadam, Achintya. Achintya Tattva. He said, this inconceivable truth, this dham tattva. Some of the devotees we've associated with over the years, they said there's two very inconceivable truths or tattvas. One is Shiva tattva and one is dham tattva. The truth of Lord Shiva and the truth of the holy dham. Very, very difficult to understand. Achintya Shakti. This is the term he uses. Jiva Goswami says Achintya Shakti. Achintya Shakti. Achintya Shakti means inconceivable potency. That Krishna, he has inconceivable potency. This is Sandini potency. Sandini Shakti. This holy Dhamma is Sandini Shakti. Inconceivable. So, if something is inconceivable, you can only understand it if it's revealed. Revelation. Not by speculation, not by mentality, not by logic, tarka or naya, by argument or logic. This is achintya shakti. He says this is the key understanding for spiritual truth. It's inconceivable. So the way we enter Vrindavan is by chanting and dancing, because this is service. Krishna and Balaram are always chanting and dancing. The coward boys dance. When they walk out with the cows, they don't drag their feet. They don't wear out one corner of their feet. When we buy a pair of shoes, always one corner of the heel is worn out more than the other corner. Understand? You buy a pair of shoes, the back right corner, it's more worn out. So we wear out our heels of our shoes, the backside. But Krishna, he doesn't wear out his feet, because he's dancing. He's not dragging his feet in Vrindavan, he's dancing. And that was seen. Who saw the dancing of Vrindavan? Who saw Krishna dancing in Vrindavan? Brahma. Lord Brahma saw Krishna's dancing in Vrindavan. And what did he say? In Vrindavan, every step is a
dance.
dance. So every step is a dance, every word is a song, and Krishna's flute is his constant companion. Vamshi Priya Sakhi. Is that what he said? Vamshi. Vamshi Priya Sakhi. And Vamshi Priya Sakhi means, in English, we only know the English, that his flute, Krishna's flute, is his constant companion. It's not, that's the translation in English, which falls a little flat. Vamshi Priya Sakhi. Because Sakhi, companion, Sakhi means girl. And Priya means beloved girl. Because this Vamshi is female. And Krishna is always kissing this girl named Vamshi. And because of that, in Govinda Lila Amrita, the gopis are cursing this flute. You stupid, you're straight. You're narrow. You're full of holes. You're dry. You're near rasa. Because a Vamshi is dried wood. So you have no ras. You're near rasa. And you're straight. You're not tribhanga. Flute is straight. And you're full of holes. Dosh means full. Bahu dosh. Dosh means holes. There's holes in a flute. Da 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 da. You're bahu dosh. Dosh means fault. Holes are a fault. But yet, you have nirgun. You have no qualities. But you're kissing Krishna's lips, which belong to us? Who the hell do you think you are anyway? If I ever get my hands on you, I'm going to break you in half and throw you in the muna. Hey, Sakhi. Hey, Vamshi Sakhi. So this is the meaning of Vamshi Priya Sakhi. The flute is his constant companion. And he plays it. The gopis are there and he's looking at him. Look, I'm kissing Vamshi, but not you. And then they say, we're going to get you. Just wait till Dani Vartan Kun. We'll get you good. Pavana Radhe. Tero nam pavana shivrindavindam pavana radhe tero nam pavana shivrindavindam jaya jaya radhe jaya jaya sham jaya jaya shivrindavindam Jaya Jaya Shama, Jaya Jaya Sham, Jaya Jaya Shri Vrindavinda. Jaya Jaya Shama, Jaya Jaya Sham, Jaya Jaya Shri Vrindavinda. Jaya Shama, Jaya Jaya Shama, Jaya Jaya Sham, Jaya Jaya Shri Vrindavinda. Pavan Bihari ki, Nanda Baba ki, Jaya Jaya Shri Radhe. So, of course, many wonderful pastimes originate here, at least in the cognitive level, because here this is Krishna's house, and as everyone knows, they can't do too many special things inside their house. But a lot of plans are hatched. A lot of leelas are mixed up here. Krishna and Balaram, they discuss at night what leelas they'll perform. We heard already the pastime earlier about in this place, in Nanda Baba's palace. This is where Lord Shiva came. And on the other side of the palace, the other side of this temple, there's a small, it was locked when we came, but there's a small deity. You have to go down a few steps of Lord Shiva. It's called Nandishwar Shiva. And when Krishna was coming to this world, this is the pastime, it's told, to manifest his pastimes here, the demigods, he was telling the demigods, he made an announcement, and Narada Muni went to the demigods and said, soon Bhagavan Sri Krishna will appear on the earth planet. All of you should prepare to take birth there to assist his pastimes. So when this information was given, then all the demigods were excited. So the chief demigods like Shiva and Brahma, they went to Krishna. And they said, listen, we're so fortunate here in your Srishti Leela. and your creation Leela of this world, material world, you have given us very important and significant services to render. And I'm Shiva the destroyer, and I'm Brahma the creator. And now you're going to manifest your Braj Leela on the earth planet. But we would like to do service there. We're begging you, but we want some special service. Because when we were in the role of Shiva and Brahma performing this service, sometimes in the name of service, we caused a lot of disservice. We gave boons and benedictions to different demons who became your opponents. And we feel some embarrassment about this. So now when you come to perform your Krishna Leela, we would like to take a very humble service role. We don't want to become prime minister or chief minister or finance minister or railroad minister. We don't want to be governor. We don't want to be DM, PM, CM, TM, any kind of anything, SPC, SPD. We don't want to be, we don't want any big position. So, Lisa, they said, listen, Lord Shiva was saying, because when Lord Shiva and Brahma said, when we were serving you as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, sometimes our power, because they say when you get power, it goes to your head. When you get power, it goes to your head. They say absolute power corrupts absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, which means karab. In English you say corrupt, in Hindi you say karab. It's the same meaning. Corrupt means destroy. Absolute power destroys you absolutely. Karab or corrupt. Similar, language very similar. Karab or corrupt. So Brahma and Shiva are telling Krishna, you're coming now for your Prakat Leela and Braj, Boma Vrindavan Leela. And this power went to our heads, and we gave these different demons, Ravana and Hiranyakashipu. Ravana worshipped Shiva, Hiranyakashipu, he worshipped Brahma. And we gave him these powers, and they caused you so much trouble in the Shring Avatar, Rama Avatar. So now, because our heads weren't functioning, very properly, and all this power went to our heads, we became Dumba, some pride and Man. This Man came in our heads. So we want to offer our heads in your service in Braj Leela. We want to put our heads together. Shiva and Brahma said, we want to put, because two heads are better than one. Of course, you're not from America, so you don't know. But two heads are better than one. But in this case, five heads are better than one. Because Brahma has four and Shiva has one. But wait a minute. Or should we say, nine heads are better than one? Because Shiva has five heads. Panchamukh Mahadev. Panchamukh Mahadev Aki. Panchamukh Hanuman Aki. Shiva in one form has five heads. And Shiva has four heads. So what does that mean? Five and four is? Nine. So nine heads are better than one. So Shiva and Brahma, they said, oh Krishnaji, oh Lalaji, you're coming for your Prakat Leela and Braj Bhumi, so please use our heads in your service. We want to put our heads into it. So then Krishna said, oh, I'll tell you what. Shiva, since we want to use your head in my service, I'll take your head and I'll make a mountain out of it. I'll make a mountain out of your head. You understand? Mountain? So that mountain we're sitting on right now is Shiva's head. We are sitting on Shiva's head right now because Nandishwar Parvat is the head of Shiva. See the humility. Amani na mani dena kirtaniya sadahari chinarapi sunichena tura iva sahishana. So this is graphic, vivid example of the greatest Vaishnava offering his head under Krishna's feet. And all the feet of the Vaishnavas and all the feet of Krishna's parishads. And then Brahma said, well, what about me? You took his one head and made Nandishwar Parvat. But I have four heads. Well, what about me? We'll think of something. So then Krishna said, listen, your four heads can become, Radharani will have pastimes on your four heads. So your four heads will manifest as four gars or four Parvats in Barsana. Vilasgar, Mangar, Dangar, and the Mandir, the main one. So the four mountains, the four heads of Brahma became the four mountains in Barsana, which we were on yesterday, or visiting yesterday. Mangar, Vilasgar, Dangar, and I don't know. What's Mangar. Brishabhanagar. Yeah, where the palace is. I never can remember. Brishabhanagar, where the palace is. So that's what happened. So you can see that even somebody, we can always use our heads in Krishna service. At least we should try to. One way or another, let someone step on it. So this is how this came about, Nandishwar. It's called Nandishwar Hill. When we took darshan of the altar, Singhasan, there were many deities and Thakurjis there. If you're starting from our far right, and we're looking, there's two black deities, two small boys. And they're Mansuk and Dansuk. Mansuka. Mansuklal, Dansuklal. So Mansuklal is Man Madhu Mangal. M Ma for Man and Mansuk. And Mansuk means happy mind. Man means mind and Sukha means happy. Because Madhu Mangal is always telling jokes. And when someone tells jokes, and even if you're sad, you try to laugh. You can't help but laugh. Even if you're very sad, if someone tells good jokes, you start laughing. Someone comes, they try to humor you. If you're in a down mood, they try to make you happy. So they say, oh, this, that, and they go, yeah, and they're very funny. I'm not in a bad mood. Get out of here. And they say, no, this, I want to tell you a story. There's this very nice story. When there was once a husband and a wife. And so the person's in a bad mood, but his joking friend, like Madhu Mangal, he can tell this story. Once there was a husband and wife. And the husband said to his wife, oh wife, you're very intelligent. You're really a genius. You're a genius. You're so intelligent that your brain is divided into two halves. Your brain is divided into two halves, the right side and the left side. In the left side of your brain, nothing is right. And in the right side of your brain, nothing is left. I think, of course, you could switch, if you want to be a women's liver, you can switch the joke around. And the wife says to the husband, oh, husband, because I don't think most people didn't get it the first time. You're a little slow. We'll switch the joke now. So now the wife says, oh, husband, you're looking so sad. Oh, don't worry, you're only making 1 lakh a month, and I'm asking for 2. Don't be so sad. It's not so sad. Listen, I'll tell you a nice joke. No, I won't tell you. Don't say so. The wife will say, actually, my dear husband, you're very intelligent. You're really a genius. You're so clever. You're a genius. Your brain is divided into two sides. Your brain has two sides, a right side and a left side. In the left side of your brain, nothing is right. And in the right side of your brain, nothing is left. So the husband says, ah, yeah, right. So Madhu Mangal, he's called Mansuk, because he makes your mind happy. Madhu Mangal, he's always telling jokes, and his head's bent like this, and he walks funny way. So first deity is Mansuk, then Dansuk. Dansuk is Sridham. Sridham is Radharani's older brother, one of Krishna's dear Priyanarma Sakas. He's a very dear friend, and he's always moving everywhere with Krishna. Radhakund, everywhere Sridham is there, Madhu Mangal is there. Because they have some understanding of Krishna's Madhurya Leela, Gopi Leela, Sridham. They have access on some level. So there was Madhu Mangal, then there, or Mansuk, Dansuk, and then there was, must be Yashoda. And then next, in the back, there's this big deity of Yashoda, then Nanda Baba. Then in the front, there's two sham-colored coward boys, right? So generally, because I was looking, I saw, oh, there's two Krishnas. They're both black. They're both playing Vamshi. Both like this. And then, of course, I know that one's Krishna, one's Balaram, because I've been here a few times. But then I was looking, and I was trying to think, which one's Balaram? Because according to Maryada means Yama or Yama, rules and regulations. There are Vedic rules of etiquette. Etiquette means sadachar, behavior, rules of conduct, rules of behavior. And the rule is, the senior person is always supposed to be on your right. You follow? So usually, for example, whenever I sit down to give class, I always sit on the far left, so that everyone's sitting on my right. I don't know if you noticed. Because I feel that Radharaman, and it's a fact, and everyone else is, so I always sit here, if you ever noticed, and all the other speakers, sometimes Ambarish is in the middle, I don't know if you've noticed, Ambarish is in the middle, and Radharaman Maharaj is here, and I'm here, because I feel they're senior to me. So, and I know that rule, so I always immediately go there, and that means I force them to sit over here. So this is the rule. Balaram, generally we have deities at all our temples. Balaram is older than Krishna, he's on Krishna's right. Nityananda is older than Lord Chaitanya, he's on Lord Chaitanya's right. Advaita is older than Nityananda, he's on Nityananda's right. The husband is supposed to be superior, and he's also older by 10 years usually in that regard, at least in that level. So he's on the right. He's on the right-hand side of the wife. And that everywhere, you read in Shastra, when you walk with the guru should be on your right side. You should be on the left side of your guru. Everywhere. This is the law, the etiquette. We may know it or not know it or whatever. So then, if that's the rule, then when we look at these deities, that means that Balaram would be on our left when we look at them. Right? They're standing there. They're standing like this, right? Krishna should be here and Balaram should be here. Because Balaram's older. You follow? Clear? So this is called the consideration of Maryada, Yam or Niyam. So I was looking. I was saying, well, they both look to me the same. I don't have my glasses, which I wear. And I can't see very clearly who's taller, shorter. I couldn't see any of that. And you could try to... So I was trying to look in an internal way. So I say, okay, which one is Balaram? Well, the real Balaram, please stand up. They have this sometimes. You know, people look alike. So I thought, well, by law, the rule of law, you should be Balaram. And you should be Krishna. And I was looking, is that it? And they went, that's not it. You know why? Hey, Videshi Baba, this is not the land of law. This is the land of love. Acha? Acha. Now let me think. Now, Prem Vichar. And Leela Vichar. There's Tattva Vichar, Prem Vichar. Now I have to think Prem Vichar. Okay, now. If you on the left, if you're Krishna, that would make sense because you're closest to Mother Yashoda. And you're Nandalal, and you're Yashoda Nandan, and you're Nanda Nandan, and your mother is right next to you. And Balaram is the son of Rohini and Vasudev. Vasudev is in Mathura, and Rohini is wherever she is in the kitchen or whatever. So it seems to me that you're Krishna and you're Balaram, because this is the law of love, because the mother, out of love, never lets her son get very far away from her eyes or her touch. Hey, Baba, come here. So then I looked, is that the way it is? And then they went, that's the way it is. So then I asked Panditji, I said, is this Balaram? And he said, yes. Krishna Balaram ki, Nanda Yashoda Maya ki, Sri Ram ki, Mansukh Dansukh ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam. Guru Kripa Hi Kevalam means anything and everything and all things are only possible by the mercy of Guru. Everything is borrowed plumes. borrowed plumes. Plumes means feather, plumes. Like you collect some feathers from a peacock on the ground and some crow comes along. There's some crow. He's thinking, hey, this peacock gets all the... Everyone says he's so pretty and I'm so black. Let me collect all these feathers. He picks up all these colorful peacock feathers in Kartik and he sticks them on the... He gets some blue tack. He gets some blue... You know, he goes to some pujari. He gets some of this sticky blue tack stuff like clay and he sticks on his feathers... And then he looks like a peacock. Got all peacock feathers all over him. And then he sits in the tree and he watches them during mating season, see how they dance, so he can learn some steps. Oh, they go like this. So then the crow with his peacock feathers, he comes on the ground. And there's some people around, and he says, look, I'm gonna try out to see if these people snap my picture and think I'm a peacock. So then the crow jumps on the... Look, there's some Russian yatris here. I'm going to try out and see if I can fool them. So the crow, he jumps on the ground and goes... And then the Russians look and say, oh my God, look at that weird crow. Let's take a picture. That's a weird looking crow. He's trying to look like a peacock. Let's take his picture. And we'll show everybody in Russia. There's a crazy crow. He's trying to be a peacock. And then everyone and so many people are snapping his picture. Then the crow thinks... Hey, it worked. They think I'm a peacock. God, I'm a peacock. But I can't speak like they do. Well, let me try. Ah, God. Shh, shh. Hey. Oh, oh. Hey, it's working. Oh, 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 oh. And then some peacocks say, hey, what the hell are you saying? Some peacocks in the tree look down and say, what are you saying? Kaka baba, what do you say? Kya bolte? Kaka baba, kya bolte? So this is the situation here. There's one crow sitting here, and this crow has some peacock feathers stuck in his back, and he's trying to imitate a peacock, and people are putting a camera there. Oh, look at this crow. He's imitating a peacock. So he's taking his pictures. So anyway, so now we have Madho Mangal, and we have Sridhar, we have Yashoda in the back, and then Nanda. Then in the front we have Balaram, and then we have Krishna. And then who's that beautiful lali on the side? Did you see? There was some girl there with dress and sari and everything. Who is that? Radha Rani Ki. So what do you think Abhimanyu thinks about that? you imagine you get married to someone, and then you go to somehow or other he was your school buddy, your old school buddy was your old school friend was your wife's boyfriend, but somehow by fate or by arranged marriage you married the girlfriend, and somehow you married his girlfriend, she became your wife, and you went to one party at his house, and you went in his house and he had some statues. And he has a statue of his mother and his father and him and your wife. A statue of your wife in his house. If you come for some party, hey, who's that? Oh, that's your wife. Hey, wait a minute. Look, she's mine now. I'm married. Yeah, you married the statue. I have the real thing. You married the statue. I have the real thing. So Abhimanyu has the statue. Krishna has the real thing. Because Radharani's here. But that Radharani in Yavat, that is only a statue. This is told by Yogamaya, that Yogamaya made duplicates of all the gopis. This is in the commentaries of Vishwanath. When the gopis run out for Ras Lila with Krishna and leave all their husbands, Abhimanyu and Durmad and all the other husbands, they run out with Krishna, then Yogamaya creates a statue. You know, statue? Patkutli. Katputli. Katputli or some stapana statue. Murti, yeah, Murti is correct. That's a puppet. Murti. So Murti is left there. So the husband thinks, oh, my wife is lying in my bed. So Abhimanyu thinks, oh, Radharani's here with me in Yavat. And Krishna says, no, she's here with me in Nandagram. So this is what we're seeing on the altar. And now we'll go to see Krishna's footprint. See, the whole idea of seeing Krishna's footprints in different places in Braj is that those footprints will make some impression. Because these footprints are always impressed in the transcendental rocks of Vrindavan, in Charan Bihari, or in Govardhan, different places, Krishna's footprints, or Radha's footprints, or sometimes Sakhi's. They're embedded, they've melted into this hard rock, somehow when it contacted Krishna, became soft. The rock became soft when it contacted Krishna. Krishna's Divya Kaleva, or transcendental body, became soft by that contact. And then when it was soft like butter, then Krishna's foot sunk into the rock and stayed. Then when Krishna left and went for Gocharan or herding the cows, then in great separation from Krishna, then the rock became hard again. And when it became hard, it preserved and captured Krishna's footprint for time immemorial and for our benefit also. So by seeing all these footprints, it's supposed to make an impression on our mind, and it also gives us a teaching, because our minds and hearts are as hard as rocks. Our hearts are like that. They're rock hard. They're like hard rocks. But when we contact Krishna, our hearts become softened. Chaitodarpana Marjanam. First, they become clean. Our hearts become clean. Then our hearts become softened. When our hearts become softened, then Krishna, when he stands there, then his feet will sink into our heart. When Krishna's feet sink into our heart, they will leave the impression and all the 19 marks on his feet. All the markings on his feet will be left in our heart. And that will, it's called an indelible impression. Immovable. You cannot move or erase that impression. It will stay in our heart. Just like Krishna holds the mark of his devotee on his chest. When Bhrigu Muni was testing which of the gods is the greatest of gods, Shiva or Brahma or Vishnu, when he went to visit Vishnu, then he kicked Vishnu on the chest. There's a story in Krishna book, in the last chapter, 10th canto. So he kicked Vishnu on the chest with his foot. And there's a whole lila. But whenever they make murtis of Krishna, the murti sthapanas, they have one charan chinna. This is Bhrigu Muni's charan chinna on the murti of Krishna. It means the footprint of Bhrigu Muni. It means his devotee, the Manasaputra of Brahma. Bhrigu, he's a devotee, Vaishnav. So Krishna is holding the footprint of his devotee on his heart. So we want to hold the footprints of Krishna in our heart. So when we see Krishna's footprints here and there, we say, oh look, this rock is so hard, and my head is even harder, my heart is even harder than this rock. But I have some hope, because in Vrindavan, even rocks melt. Only in Vrindavan, rocks melt by contacting Krishna. So I have faith, and my faith is improved and increased by seeing this rock. If Vrindavan can melt these rocks and capture Krishna's footprint, then Vrindavan can melt the rock of my heart and catch Krishna's and capture Krishna's footprint and capture Radha's footprint. Shri Krishna Balarama ki, Shri Nanda Baba ki, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Sham Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON's annual Mayapur Vrindavan Festival Yatra ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Tai Ghor Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.